This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich Baum in beautiful, cool, chilly Sacramento, California.
Brian Berkowitz here from, I guess, the freezing. East Coast. East Coast, let's change it up. I'm from the East Coast, and yes, freezing. It's been a disaster the last like 3 weeks. So I've had multiple storms, and I feel like I'm in the Midwest now with all this snow. But I have more coming at the end of this week, another foot coming. It's crazy. Just when it all starts melting away, it all comes back. But
yeah, somebody posted welcome to my world or something like that, and it was 20 below zero and snow. I don't even know if it snows at 20 below zero, but how many, how'd you like to just go out and shoot that? I don't think so.
That's dangerous zone, 20 below zero.
Well, you got to make money, man.
I mean, you know this. You're a skier, Rich. There's sometimes when you go up to those slopes and it's so cold up there, they don't even let you on the lifts if you have any skin exposed at all because it gets so cold, you know, for hypothermia and all that stuff.
Yeah. So how's it going with you, Brian? What's up?
It's good. It's slow time of year, which is good. I'm taking advantage of the slow time regrouping. I've been working on a lot of my own internal marketing stuff and figuring out strategies for the coming year. So I'm going to take advantage of the slow time and just get things kicking. So when it kicks into gear, you know, hopefully next month, you know, I'm ready to roll.
Well, as we both know, it's been a very precarious 2 years or a year and a half. And I got started off pretty well and it's slowed down a bit, but you know, that's normal in January, February. So I'm not worried about it. Let me thank our sponsor, HD Photo Hub. HD Photo Hub is a back office system designed just for real estate photographers. Give your clients a place to download their photos, make updates to their property websites, get flyers and social media titles, and so much more, all on a platform that is branded to your company. Check out them today at hdphotohub.com. That's hdphotohub.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Rich. And while you're on it, why don't you introduce our guest for the day?
Well, I just want to say we have someone that was involved with the PFRE, Photography for Real Estate Conference, and that was the second one, the virtual conference we had. If you missed it, you missed a great, great, really informative opportunity. But we have Fraser
Almeida.
I knew I'd screw it up. Almeida. I knew I'd screw it up.
You got the first one right. Fraser.
I did. Well, I just want to say welcome, Fraser, and thank you for coming on our podcast. And please give us the elevator talk, the 30-second rundown of who you are and what you're doing.
Well, short and sweet, I'm here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I own Luxury Home Photography, and we pretty much cater to the high-end luxury real estate industry out here. We also do interior design, architects, builders, commercial projects and whatnot for various of clients, and not just in Las Vegas, but we've gone to different states as well, depending on the job. But that's pretty much in a whole what I do out here and have been doing for the past, I'd say, 8 years now. Pretty strong, and even more stronger now, believe it or not, with even COVID going on. I mean, I'm sure like you guys know, it's actually pretty good for us shooters right now.
And Fraser, when you said we, what's your company like? How many employees do you have? What do you got going on?
So we have about a team of three photographers, and then I have my my admin who takes care of you know, the billing and all that kind of stuff. So the photographers are pretty much trained by me. I do my best to find people who I don't try to look for people who are professionals. I look for people who are getting into it and have some type of passion for photography, because I know I can mold them into what I need them to be. Sometimes when you have somebody that's already experienced, it's hard to break their habits, you know? So I try to find people that are fresh and really are passionate about this. And then I try to mold them, take them on board and just have them train with me until I feel they're confident enough to tackle my clients. So once I got them up to speed, I'll start giving them maybe the smaller projects. And then once I know they're actually doing work that I'm proud of, then I start sending them into my bigger clients. And then that's it. Most of the time, I get a lot of my clients, even though it's nice to have a company, but I get a lot of clients that's like, nope, we only want to work with you. And I get it. That's fine. That's how it is. But I have plenty of clients that trust me. And if I say, you know what, my guy is good and they can do it, they'll take care of, they'll be okay with that.
Yeah, and that's great advice, because I think when you're looking to hire other photographers or even assistants, whatever the case is, I always like to go to local photo schools or colleges to find people, because you know they have a passion for it. They're going to school for that. And they're hungry for work. They want to work. They have hopefully good work ethic because they're coming up and they want to learn as much as they can. And you can train them exactly how you want the stuff shot. So, you know, it's great to get guys that are, you know, people that are into it, but they don't have the experience in the field that they might come up and say, hey, I think you might want to do it a different way or whatever, you know, you know, you teach them how you want it to work. And then you can, like you said, mold them. It's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, one of my main guys, when I saw his portfolio, it was on Instagram, and he was taking pictures of those crystal balls that you'd shoot at, and it'll invert the photo.
Those like lens balls. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing. But even with that, I'm like, you know what? I can mold that, you know? So, and after that, even though you get somebody who has some passion, I still need to interview them, because at the end of the day, the company is represented by me and the photographers. Like, I want to make sure that my guys that are out there can communicate. They're not just robots going and shooting. They're actually, you know, talking to the client, engaging and are good people as a whole. You know, I mean, that's what keeps clients coming back to you, because they enjoy the experience of working with you.
Responsible. Like when you call them for the interview, you want to make sure that they show up 5 minutes early, because that's going to reflect you. You know, if they show up 10 minutes late to the interview, that's not someone you want to bring on to your job.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And even with that, you know, that's something that is going to happen, but you have to, you know, instill in them communication, you know, communication with me, communication with the client. That goes a long way. I mean, I'm sure I've made the mistake of not communicating with the client, and had I communicate with a client, everything would have been okay. Me assuming that, if I don't talk to them, you know, it's actually worse. By you communicating, it just solves everything.
And really important, though, to have a really good clarification of expectations between you and the people that work for you. I mean, this whole interview wasn't planned on going to how do you deal with multiple shooters, but might as well just go there.
Sure.
Because I really wanted to talk to you about twilight photography, because that's what your speaking engagement on.
I wanted to talk to you about Vegas. So
in Vegas, yeah.
We'll tackle everything.
But let me ask you, I mean, when you get people, it's got to be nervous, because you're not nervous, but you've got to get a clarification of understanding and NDA and you know, a non-disclosure agreement. What do you say to anybody that's trying to bring on somebody? Because where does that line go? Where's that line between doing it all yourself and going, I'm going to let up some of this responsibility and invite somebody in and let somebody do it with me?
Well, the wake up moment for me that this started was the first year of my company, when I started this, I took a trip to India for a month. So that's when, in that month, no jobs were coming in. It was just me. I was the only shooter. So no jobs were coming in. Clients had to wait for me to come back, or they went to a competitor. It was so stressful, because I'm like, I want to just get back home to make more money, because there wasn't money coming in the pipeline. It was, you know, I was spending savings and whatnot. So coming back from that trip, that's when everything changed. And I realized that I need to build this as a business for it to work for me rather than me working for the business. So after that, I just, you know, talked to business-minded people and realized, you know what, I have to structure this as a way so that it can last long-term. I mean, if I die tomorrow, my company, as of right now, can continue to work because there's implementation set that can keep going, you know, scheduling, shooting, billing, all that stuff. I mean, unless they're specifically asking for me, the company can continue. And now it allows me to actually take a vacation. Like I went to India and Dubai the year before COVID, and I was there for 3 weeks, and it was the best feeling of not having to worry about the business. Every so often, you know, you check in, of course, it's your responsibility, but I know my guys are out there shooting, calls are coming in, bills are getting paid, invoices are getting created, and it's the best feeling ever. But all that starts with the foundation of understanding, you know, business, having a little bit of business mindset, but then also, you know, training, bringing the right team of people on board. I mean, that takes some time. I mean, I'm at three photographers, but I went through another three before that. And best of luck to them. You know, they moved to other states or whatever, but every person is a learning experience to build and adapt to make it so that this company is fruitful, you know?
Awesome. So Rich, do you want to go to Twilight first or should we talk a little Vegas?
No, let's talk Vegas, man.
Vegas.
Let's talk about fun. Hey, by the way, Frazier, did I miss meeting you or did I meet you in Vegas in 2019?
We met at the bar after
so sorry. I was probably, you know, anyway.
A part of you was there, but the other part of you wasn't there.
I was so excited and I was so overwhelmed with meeting and talking to people that part of it is just a blur. So.
Yeah, no, but I really wish yesterday would have been in person, but I mean, it was a great that we still kept it going and did it virtual, but I'm hoping this year can be in person again. I mean, I think there's so much good people, good vibe. Everything was amazing at the event. I mean, I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, that's how I'm even here, you know, because of that event.
Well, if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be in Vegas anyway in October. So maybe we'll grab a drink.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
What are you doing in Vegas, Brian? You gonna
my
do a
brother's getting
store?
Married? No, my brother's getting married in Vegas in October.
And you're shooting him? I mean, photographing him?
I am not. I'm going for 3 days to party.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh God, don't talk about weddings. I had one or two, and I'll never do it again.
Ah. I hear you.
that's just you. And I love weddings. So
no, I love going to them.
I understand it though.
I can't shoot it. Oh.
No, it's understandable. You know what? I tell people that want to say, well, I feel I should shoot weddings. Nobody should ever feel they need to shoot weddings. It's wedding photography is for a certain type of person. I happen to be that type of person, but it's definitely not for everyone.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And good on to the people who are doing it. Cause man, they do a great job at it. They do a great job. I've been to a couple of weddings and I see the photographers and I'm just like, I'm patting their back. Good job, guys.
Look, I agree with you. I did it for a while. I did it for years, but not for me anymore. Much happier not doing them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let me ask you, I was talking to Rich before about this and I'm kind of curious what the state of a real estate photographer or luxury real estate photographer is in a city that's primarily focused on tourism.
Honestly, right now, every week I'm shooting luxury, and luxury can be from anywhere from, depending on the home, it could be from 800 and you know a million high rises, estates and whatnot. But out here, it's going good. Honestly, I don't think there's been a slowdown. If anything, an increase. And I don't know the logistics as to why that is. You know, I try to understand it, but I just know houses are getting put on the market. That means they need photography. They're calling me to go shoot it. And it's not just me. Like in one day, me and my team are each shooting individual houses and their luxury homes as well. So it's definitely happening, but I don't have an answer as to why it is the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, is Vegas crowded now? Is it empty?
You know what it could be. I've heard things of like, for instance, the neighbors, California, things are getting crazy over there. Prices are going high. And Vegas, the cost of living compared to California is way, way more affordable. I mean, a house here is a small apartment over there, you know? So maybe that's why there's a bigger boom out here. Right now, inventory in Vegas is nothing. So if a house gets put on the market, it's gone, like just like that. So right now, it's definitely the time for the sellers that's putting the listings out.
Yeah, it seems to be, you know, I live in a suburb of New York City, and it seems to be the same way. You know, right outside of a lot of the major cities, there's no inventory and the houses go because, you know, I know for me here in New York, when all this started a year ago, there was a mass exodus out of Manhattan and everyone's looking to go to the suburbs. They realized you can't leave the house. And I'm stuck on the 35th floor in a small little one bedroom apartment and I can't go anywhere. So everyone wants to come out to Long Island where I am and get at least a house with a backyard. And it's even cheaper than what they were paying for their two bedroom co-op in the city.
Yeah.
So I would imagine it's similar elsewhere, people, like you said, from California shifting to Vegas or even, people are just going kind of spreading out a little bit.
Sometimes I'm thinking like the homes that are getting put on the market, which means they need our services. I'm thinking maybe sometimes people are thinking possibly with COVID, they have to readjust their lifestyle and thinking like, my job security isn't there no more. Even these people in the high-end luxury homes, and they're like, we need to scale down. This luxurious living is we can't do that no more. I mean, Vegas, everything is at, 25% capacity now everywhere, casinos and all that stuff. So that's affecting a lot of people, even the high-end market. So I'm thinking sometimes with the high-end market, maybe they're readjusting and going to something smaller. So these bigger, insane estates are getting put on the market and getting sold because people just don't want to take a risk of, something else happening and the city shuts down again and then, everybody's screwed.
Do you ever dive into hospitality work out there? I mean, there's plenty of it.
Oh no.
Stay away.
Yeah, that's a different breed. Back in the day, I had a buddy of mine who I helped him do a company called Exclusive Vegas, like a concierge type of, you're taking care of the VIP high rollers and all that kind of stuff.
Well, no, I meant even from a photography standpoint.
Oh, as in?
Like shooting hotels, restaurants, stuff like that.
You know what? I haven't got into that specifically. That's something I might dive into. There's a whole bunch of like insurance and you need to have a lot of paperwork in order before you can even be able to bid on that kind of stuff. I'm happy doing just the, sending a bid to the builders or seating company and them just working with me directly and I have to do all that. I mean, insurance is always there, but there's a lot more hurdles you have to go through to get into the casinos.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, cool. Before we dive into some Twilight stuff, I'm just going to give a quick word from our friends at iGUIDE. iGUIDE is a turnkey solution for those looking to expand their real estate photography business beyond photography to add 3D tours, laser accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans. Get your first 5 standard iGUIDEs free by adding the code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at camera purchase. Visit goiguide.com to learn more. And with that, Rich, I know you've been dying to ask Fraser about Twilights because that's your thing over there, the Twilights. So.
Well, aside from hearing you on the PFRE conference, which by the way, if anybody missed it, it was a really great time virtual.
It was,
but it was still a good educational time, and we had 15 or 20 professionals top in their fields talking about stuff. But your speak was about Twilight photography. And I'm really a big fan of Twilight photography. I'm still learning Twilight photography and still experimenting with different processes. But how did you get into and what led you to be able to host a speak on the PFRE conference about Twilight photography?
Well, Brandon reached out to me after the first event at in Vegas. I had introduced myself to him and pretty much just said like, hey, I'm here in Vegas. And if you need any help, next time you guys are trying to come out here again, let me know. But I think that introduction allowed him to kind of get to see some of my work online. And he started to see me on the Mike Kelly group and some other groups posting and started seeing the following and just the work I've been putting up. And he was pretty impressed by it. So he asked me to do a presentation for last year's event. And I did. So I put together what I could for Twilight based on my style of Twilight and how I go about it for my clientele.
And is Twilight photography a large part of your service? Do you find what percentage of listings do you actually do Twilight photography?
Oh, mostly all of them. I mean, when if it's a luxury home, 100% Twilight's always going to be there because that Twilight, especially when the lighting is right, it's like probably the dominant photo that gets put out in the front rather than the daytime shots. So most of the time, those twilights, even for mid-range properties, go great for the client's marketing. I mean, it just gives it a different feel from the day, especially when the lighting's there. I mean, twilights can really work magic.
So let me ask, if someone out there is interested in doing twilights, or if they're doing twilights, but they want to do more twilights, what can you say? What would you say to a prospective customer, an agent that is on the edge, where you're going to shoot their house, but you want to add in twilights, and you think they should add in twilights? What do you say to them?
Well, I mean, I always tell them, like, you want to do what you can to sell this property. So I know that doing twilight, like, for instance, putting twilight aside, like, if it's a large home, you know for a fact that client has to get aerial photography. It's a given. If it's on a large lot, huge land, I mean, you have to get it. You can't just rely on ground photography, because that one photo says it all. Well, a twilight in its essence could do the same thing. I mean, it can really give that wow factor for a property when you're putting it online. And I mean, with sky replacements or without sky replacements, a twilight photo really gives it that magic that, like, you know, a daytime, you got the hard light coming and all that. Sometimes you get lucky and you get beautiful daylight, afternoon light. But most of the time at twilight, and especially if you take it to the next level and you start bringing in lighting, I mean, you can make that look like a design magazine shoot, you know? I mean, it's especially for the high-end luxury homes. Most of the time for the high-end luxury, the houses are done up with nice landscape lighting. All you have to do is literally point and shoot, and that's it. And then a little bit of editing needed. But I mean, the end result is what's going to sell that home. I mean, I just did a twilight condo shoot for a high rise. I also did a daytime condo shoot for their high rise, but it's completely night and day, literally, because the views, obviously we're on the Las Vegas Strip. The views in the day, you know, it's a little bit hazy, you know, through the windows, and it's not as crisp and sharp, but at nighttime, you know, you get the interior lighting, and then, you know, you mask out the windows for night, and you get the beautiful strip lights and the blue sky and all that stuff. It's just amazing. I mean, that's what's going to sell the home, not the daytime shot. So I just try to show people examples online as well as to why twilight's in their benefit. At the end of the day, they always agree, because you're the professional, and they're going to trust your judgment.
And it's really about branding. The agents that I do twilights, I do them on everything from really high-end listings to some of my agents are lower-end listings, but it's everybody, is the agents are grasping to try and find one thing that they can sell their property with, because, well, although it's, I got to say, right now, there is zero inventory and it is just like going off the shelves. If you post something, if you list a house, it's going to sell really quickly. But what do you tell someone that wants to get into twilight photography? I always say it ain't brain surgery. If I can do it, you can do it. Exactly. And it really is. But are you doing the pops, light pops for your twilights, or do you do all ambient exposures?
I let the scene determine that. So I've done plenty of homes, luxury homes, regular homes. I don't use no lighting at all. And it's just the ambient lighting. And that's more than enough there. I mean, if I could do that for all my shoots, I'd be happy, because, you know, the post-production on that with lighting, it could take some time. But for real estate, especially more than for architectural or a builder or whatnot, you don't have to go crazy above and beyond. You can deliver a good product, and it doesn't need to have all this crazy lighting, all this kind of stuff. You know, sometimes that ambient shot is more than enough with a little bit of pushing and pulling in Lightroom to make it look good. And that's all it needs. It doesn't need all this crazy lighting. And you know, like, why is there light in this bush? Where is it even coming from? You know, like, people are smart and they start to see that stuff. And, you know, we want to make things look, at least for me, I used to be back in the day, putting light on everything, on bushes, on things that, like, and I've definitely evolved from that. And I try to let the light of the home determine all that. So if I'm going to add supplemental lighting, I like to let the light determine where that's coming from. So if there is bushes or whatnot, the direction and shadows are coming from the main light source, and we're just enhancing that, right? But yeah, it's not every shoot that is getting that done up. It's all determined. If a home wants a Twilight shoot and the client wants to go above and beyond, and they wanted me to, if they want to say, I want to do the works on everything, then you know what? Because you're paying for it, I'm going to do the works on it, which is lighting and all. But if they're like, I trust your judgment and I just want the best looking photo. Well, to me, that doesn't mean it necessarily needs lighting. I know from experience that a good photo is based off of composition, contrast, you know, all that good stuff. So lighting doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to make that photo look good. It's up to you as a professional to determine that.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I was having this conversation with someone the other day. I forgot who it was, but I feel like when you learn a new technique, such as, you know, light pops on a Twilight shot, people have a tendency to overuse those techniques for a good 6 months until you start to realize, not necessarily realize, but figure out how to use those techniques into your workflow. And I remember, you know, when I learned how to take Twilights using flash pops, I used to do it on every single house. I would pop here and pop there and pop, like you said, pop ridiculous amount of times until eventually I realized, especially for real estate, I might not necessarily even need to do these flash pops at all, as Rich knows better than anyone. So yeah, that's just a tendency, like you said. I feel like when you learn new techniques, no matter what it is, whether it's Twilight flash pops or even flambient or even, you know, lighting, light farming, which Wayne does, you know, you overuse it because it's something new until you kind of figure out how it works into not only your workflow, but your technique. And I feel like taking those little bits from what you learn here, what you learn there is kind of what molds everybody's individual style. So like you said, it's good that you kind of learn now where to use it and where not to, and not to overuse it.
And now technology is there where, like in the lesson I had on PFRE, I was showing people, like, you know, sometimes people would use flash pops to help eliminate like the color cast that would come from like a pool light or a fireplace, a huge fireplace that's throwing that orange onto the facade of the building, you know. But there's tools in Photoshop that take seconds, you know, the color replacement tool. That's like a magic thing that just helps to eliminate all that stuff. And, you know, you don't have to go the route of flash necessarily. So it is there, but I use it as needed. And then if an opportunity arises where it's like, you know what, this place can definitely benefit from it, then I'll bring it out and I use it. I've definitely used it on a lot of properties, but there's also a lot of properties that have just been pure ambient, and that's it.
Yeah, and let me ask you, Fraser, where can people find examples of your work? Because I want to segue into something else that I noticed going to your website.
Yeah,
what's your website?
They can find me on luxuryhomesphotography.com. So luxury homes with the S, photography.com. You can also see some of my work on Instagram under my name, Fraser Almeida. And I'm also posting regularly on my Facebook under the same name, Fraser Almeida.
Yeah, we'll put links to all those, all your sites on the show notes.
So let me ask you, I saw some very clean stuff. I mean, your website's great. And if you're out there listening and you want to get a good example of a nice website, I think, Fraser, your website's really great. But I want to ask you, are you, because, okay, now you have three photographers under you, at any one time, but you have yourself and such. Are you outsourcing? Where are you at with outsourcing?
Are we talking about Twilight photography?
Anything.
Outsourcing.
Who does your editing?
We all my team knows how to edit. The only time we go to outsourcing is if we're getting overbooked on shooting. But one thing about outsourcing, we do not outsource any outside photography, meaning daytime front exteriors and Twilight front and rear exterior, anything exterior, we do not outsource that. I found that those come out looking horrible.
And no need to really do. There's nothing easier than an exterior shot.
Yeah, I gave them a shot, and you know, you try to have them fix it. It just doesn't work. For the general, you know, run and gun real estate photography, and if we're overbooked, we have an editor we use that they'll take care of it. But my team, they have the ability to edit themselves. So if we can and we have the time, we edit. But if we're overbooked, the editor is there as a backup to help cover and help us finish turnaround and get things back to our clients on time. But most of the time, we try to do everything all in house, and because that's how we're able to keep the branding, our style of what we do out there for our clients.
And how have you found that your consistency? It's interesting because I've part of me is like, I'd love to be able to outsource, but I really don't do it. And part of me is like, I don't really entrust other people. I want to keep the power within me. But what did you find to find an outsourcer, a company that does whatever you're happy with?
So first it goes down to the client and what they want. So for instance, I let my client determine the quality of photo they want. So we have what we call as our basic package, our premium package, and our luxury package. A luxury package will never ever get sent out to an editor. That's completely us flashing the interior outside and definitely putting our style and brand on it. A premium, depending on the property, might go, if it's a very general white house inside, you know, white general photography, and we just need windows to be masked in, we may just send that out because it's quick and easy and it's done. As far as how we found a editor, it's just a matter of, it's not hard to find them within the groups and whatnot, and just having them. What I did was I found about, I think, five or six editors, and I had them all edit the same set of images as examples of something that I've shot. And then they all sent it back to me, and I compared all of them to see which one had the best style. And that's it. I mean, you just have to vet them that way. I mean, there's no way to just pick one. I mean, you have to do your work to make sure that, and even that one that does it, they're not consistent 100%. You have to still quality control that and still deliver a good product to the client. You can't just expect that they're going to do the job and it's done and over with. Like, no, they just, for me, an editor for me literally is for the purpose of masking in windows and maybe doing some exposure. That's about it. But that's it. It just helps me to not mask in windows and blinds and all that kind of stuff. Because when we do a premium shoot, we don't necessarily use flash for like window pulls and, you know, darken mode and stuff. We just do a pure ambient, so we're in and out of there quick. With the luxury though, that's a different ball game. That's all for flash and whatnot.
So let me ask you, what are you, what gear are you guys using? Are you dictating are you supplying your other photographers' gears?
Yep.
And
yeah,
what do you
use? Everybody has a 5D Mark IV, then they have all the full range. So they have, and we're all on Canon. So 16 to 35, 24 to 70, and the 70 to 200. So that's, each one of my guys has that. They also have flash. We use the Orlit system from Adorama. It's very similar to the way the popular Flashpoint. No, not Adorama. Mike Kelly uses it. Those guys.
Profoto.
So it's similar to Profoto as far as the style of it. A little bit heavier because obviously, but so we use that, and then Cam Ranger obviously to tether and see the shots, and that's it. Besides that, for like Twilight, this thing came about recently that I love. I don't know if you guys have seen this. These little lights, these LEDs, they're crazy, crazy bright. I mean, this thing, let me see if I could just put it back here. See how bright that is?
Yeah.
With 2 seconds, I can expose a full backyard of a whole house. You know, that's how bright it is. But I mean, so each one of my guys has that. We also have the this thing.
This GL1.
This dinosaur.
Yeah, but the GL1.
Mike, there's one Mike Kelly right there.
Yeah. But the cool thing I like about this, man, that the color on this and the spread on this is amazing. But what I found about that, though, it only works good for dark, for dark scenes. Like, you can't do it in dusk. It's still too bright. But yeah, that's about it as far as, and then, you know, the regular, we got the drones and all that good stuff. But for the general photography, Canon 5D Mark III, and then the full set of lenses.
Awesome.
Well, let me ask you, do you worry, because we speak to a few people that have different photographers working under them. I don't know what deals or contracts you have with your guys. Do you worry that you know, you're teaching them and eventually one day they're going to want to go out and start their own thing, and you kind of taught them and they might be competition, or is that not such a worry for you?
They do have contracts that they, and if they ever wanted to do that, you know, best of luck to them. You know, I'm not going to hold back. I can't live, work a business assuming that they're going to, do me wrong. So my job is to get them up to speed to my level and bring on a good team of people that I can trust. Right. But I do have contracts in place that say that if they decide to leave the company, they cannot go after any of our clients. They can't poach our clients or whatnot after so much many years. And all this was done through lawyers. I mean, we have to cover ourselves. So at least in that aspect, if they do leave the company and want to get into this business, that's fine. But start your own business, your own clientele. Don't come to my clientele. And we have paperwork in order for that. So we're covered in that sense. And of course, you know, I mean, I'm sure they can get around that stuff and whatever, but you know, we do what we can to cover.
Yeah, you can't worry about that.
It's a small town, and what happens in Vegas, people know what happens in Vegas.
Yeah.
It stays in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day though, us individually and as a business, if we continue to do good work, hopefully the client will continue to stay with you. And that's what we want. I mean, as long as we're doing good work and delivering a good quality product and being a good individually person, there should be no reason for why we should worry about somebody stealing our clients, you know?
Yeah, it's about reliability, consistency. Those are the things that is why a client is hiring you. It's not because your pictures are that much better. You know, sometimes it has something to do with it, but I really think the bottom line is it's about you as a person, as a company, as a Fraser, you as an individual, that you're there to stand by them and really do that. That's great.
Awesome. I'm looking at your website too. It looks like you have a lot of your systems automated. People can schedule a shoot right on your website.
Yep. And that in itself is how I've evolved. Trust me, my website wasn't like that. That meant everybody had to call me, and we know how it is. We're out on a shoot. We're just focused on the shoot. We don't want to answer a call. We don't want to schedule during the middle of a shoot, you know? So that's how I learned. So now when a client comes to my website, they can book directly, email gets sent, and then eventually we can just actually put on the calendar. I mean, it has to be that way because there's no way with the amount of people calling every day, I can answer all those phone calls. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I deal with. People calling me all the time on shoots and all that stuff, but I run a different type of studio. I don't do volume remotely. You know, I do a very select few shoots a week, if that much. So, you know, if I don't get back to them for 2-3 hours, it's okay. They're not going to make a break. But yeah, it's having these automated systems in place makes a world of a difference. I know a bunch of other photographers that do it, and it's great just to come out of a shoot and just look at your calendar and see that, you know, you got one or two more shoots booked in your calendar already. It's really,
and the system isn't automated to actually put them in the calendar. It's automated to let them select their services, to send me that email, and then for me to go back and respond to that. So it doesn't necessarily need to be like it's going straight into a schedule, because I want to dictate that. I don't want to let the client dictate that, because you know how it is. We, depending on square footage or whatnot, we know you can't just say a shoot's going to be set in stone based off of a square foot. There's a lot more involved in that. So we need to communicate with the client after they've actually submitted their request for a shoot.
Great.
Awesome. Well, Fraser, we're running out of time, so I want to thank you for coming on and, you know, telling people a little bit about what you do out in Vegas, because I don't think, Rich, we ever had anyone on from Vegas. So,
no, I have a friend from Vegas that came to one of my workshops, and besides that, no, I don't think I know anybody in Vegas.
You know what? Before we leave, if you don't mind, I want to touch base on one thing that I was trying to say earlier in regards to Twilight that might benefit a lot of people. When you're going out there and you're shooting, a lot of people, they use Twilight as the one word that defines the product that they're delivering. But the problem with that is that I found with my clientele, a lot of my clientele, they don't want what is considered the typical Twilight. I have a lot of people that's like, I don't want any blue in my sky. I want complete black skies, you know, or I have other clients that's like, I don't want any blue. I want that early dusk look when the sun just sets, you know? So we got to be, as a professional, we got to make sure that when we're delivering the service, if you want to call it twilight, that's fine. But we have to make sure that we listen to the client and deliver what they want. We don't just bottle it all up as to one thing, because the last thing you want is to go to a shoot, think the client wants something, give them the product, and they're completely unhappy with it. So that all comes down to what we're talking about, communication. So whether it's dusk, twilight, or night, each one of those requires a different mindset, and we have to make sure we get that from the beginning before we go out there and waste our time.
Expectations, it's as Rich likes to say.
Clarification of expectations. That's it.
Exactly. I'm gonna get you a shirt, Rich, that says that, because that's your new motto.
Clarify your freaking expectations. No, I'm just gonna leave it at that. Well, listen, Frederick, let me get into our last promo, and this is for Photo Up. We all know that Photo Up is the leader in real estate photography editing, but did you know that they also offer floor plans, virtual staging, property websites, photo delivery, virtual assistants, and more? More! Have all of your business services under one roof. Help streamline your workflow so you can spend more time shooting spaces and less time stuck behind your computer. I like that. Okay. No more wasted time uploading and downloading or logging on at 10 different accounts. Run your entire business through one account so you can shoot more, manage less, and spend more time doing what we love, and that's shooting spaces. So visit photoup.net/shooting spaces or click the Photo Up link in the Shooting Spaces website to receive a $100 discount on your full month of Photo Up services. So that's photoup.net, and just go check that out. Okay.
With that, thank you, Fraser, for coming on, sharing a little bit about what you do out in Vegas. Hopefully when I'm out there, if I have a free moment, we can get a drink.
Anytime.
Hopefully we'll all be in Vegas in November.
You've been doing that a lot though, Brian. Last year, you probably met with half dozen photographers all over the country.
Last fall. Yeah. Well, I was driving all over the place, and you know, doing this, it enables me to know so many people in so many different cities. So as I was traveling, you know, a lot of my shoots when I was traveling for Rolex, I would be done at 6 o'clock. So I'd go meet a ton of different people, and I got to meet so many people that, you know, we're friends with online and this and that, and just go out for drinks or go out for dinner as best as we could. Obviously the world was upside down back in the fall. Well, it still is for that matter.
Sorry to alert you. The world is still upside down.
Yeah. Okay. maybe it's less upside down. I don't know. But anyway, so thanks a lot for coming on, Fraser. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Just give everybody your website one more time if they want to check it out.
Yep. You can find me on luxuryhomesphotography.com or Instagram under Fraser Almeida. Or if you want to find me on Facebook as well, it's under Fraser Almeida as well. So FraserAlmeida.
Great.
Perfect. Thank you. And Rich, as you know, I know this season is rapidly coming to a close. We only have a couple episodes left, which is crazy how it flies by.
It does.
But we got a lot of fun things coming up for the spring, so it's pretty exciting. We have, you know, we just announced last week our new webinar.
Well, tell us about our new webinar, Brian, you're speaking about that.
Yeah, well, hopefully people registered already. And if they haven't, we're doing a photo critique with our good friends, Wayne Capilli and Tony Colangelo. So it's going to be an awesome night where any type of real estate photographer can come in, submit their photo online to us, and the guys are going to take it and go through it and critique it, the good, the bad, and everything in between. So hopefully this is going to be a great opportunity for some people to learn a composition, learn some lighting techniques. We're going to maybe even dive into a little bit of staging for your photography, but a great opportunity to submit photos that, you know, you think are either great or awful, and have some of the top guys in the industry critique it. So what's that?
No, it's just, I was just going to just jump in and say, please, this is really for the photographers also, that if you're worried, oh, I don't want to, I'm so scared about getting critiqued on an image. This is not about that. This is about send your image in. So you're going to cut to the chase and get better at your composition by maybe taking a hit at the beginning, but it's for everybody. It's for the top photographers, for the middle and the beginners to send it in. And we'll critique your images. And you got two of the best in the business, Wayne and Tony. And it's going to be a great time, really great learning opportunity.
Awesome. Yeah. So we still have seats available, shootingspaces.net/photocritique. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. And you can come and register. March 4th is the event. So shootingspaces.net/photocritique. We'll hopefully see everyone there. And what else we got, Rich? Sign up for our newsletter, ask the guys, send everything over.
Ask the guys. Come on, guys. Even Fraser, I want you to send in a question to ask the guys. I need everybody to send in a question. We're asking so little of you. Please send it and ask the guys so we can do an episode for your question. And either we're going to answer it, Brian and I, or we're going to get somebody like Fraser on to come and answer a specific question. And that's part of what we're here for. But we also have the shootingspaces.net is where we have all our webinars and we have our educational things, presets, coffee mugs. Okay. You can get your Shooting Spaces coffee mug, and we're going to do hats. I want to do a hat, make Shooting Spaces great again.
I'll get you a hat.
Something like that.
Do you want like a beanie or like a baseball cap?
No. Baseball cap.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not one to put it backwards, but who knows? I might get wild, but I want to thank everybody for coming on and really whatever you're doing out there. I know it's tough. It's tricky out there, but if you wanted to get in this business, now's the time because it's going to weed you out if you can do it or you can't do it. But no matter what you do, do your best. Always be reliable. Be a great photographer. Love what you do, because how lucky are we to do it? And just thank you. Thank you up there, the Lord up there, for shooting spaces. Let us shoot spaces and enjoy our time. And
you're getting all spiritual tonight.
I am. I'm getting spiritual. God bless you. No, but listen, go out and shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.